The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a standard beginning here. Paul, the apostle. An apostle is one sent by God on a special mission, you know, specifically. It is the highest office in Christianity that I have ever seen, at least on earth. And Paul says, by the will of God. In other places he says, not by man or of men, but by God. Through him who called him to salvation and righteousness. Grace be to you and peace. This is Paul's standard greeting. Always grace and peace from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Let's hold there. Really, this whole beginning chapter is a straight dialogue that really, as I read it, I was like, well, where do I stop? You'll notice we never ran across a period. No, all commas and semicolons. Well, looking back at verse 3, you know, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know, God, and many times Paul talks about this high calling of Christ and how we are becoming the sons of God. And you notice here, the real focus of the blessing of God is not on earthly things, though he provides us with earthly things, and we thank him for earthly things. But the greatest blessing he gives us are all these spiritual blessings. The blessings of things that are, you know, the spirit hath not flesh and blood. A spirit is something somewhat intangible. You can't put it in a test tube. You can't, put it to the test the way a man would want it. But a spiritual blessing is something from within. And it's very tangible in the sense of when you receive it, you know you've received something glorious of God. I hope I'm making sense. As the blessings of God are incomparably greater than all the blessings of earth, of food, raiment, shelter. You know, they counted, you know, they, like it said of Moses, he chose rather to suffer with his people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm not calling sin a blessing, but what I mean is, like, the things of earth, many of them, you know, food, it's something necessary, God provides it, but it can be sin. Same thing with reproductive, liberty, and so on and so forth, between a husband and wife. other things, you know, our possessions, our homes, all those things can become barriers to spiritual, to focusing on the things of the Spirit. And I see in this, in this letter, Paul has a lot of focus on these things of the Spirit over and above anything else. And so these are some of the highest things in the order of all things that we could be blessed with. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You know, I've heard some people when they, this is one of those chapters where you, if you look up the word predestination in your concordance, you'll be directed here. And it gives you some of the facts about predestination. And some people have suggested that it's not the individuals that are predestinated. Because this is the way, see, people who don't believe in predestination find a way to they have to believe in some form of predestination, right? But they don't want to believe in the predestination as taught by the apostles. So what do? They create a version of predestination which is perverse, and by which they twist the scriptures. So they'll say, He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. What he's saying is, those who choose Christ, God foreordained that they would be holy and without blame before Him in love. See, it's not the person that's foreordained, it's the way. See, the path that they went on. Meaning, He ordained beforehand that they would believe in Jesus in their heart and receive Him and trust in the cross. And I don't mock those things. I'm mocking the false doctrine of those who use the cross, and they use faith in Jesus, but they use it to commit spiritual abortion. They call, see, in the book of Galatians, if you study it with me, you will remember that Paul talked about how he labored. He travailed in birth again until Christ be formed in the Galatians. But you understand that God is forming Christ in us. There is a birth. You know what I mean? And the more, and he's going to be, and this is going to be spring forth not as a baby, but as a full-grown man or woman, as it were. Because in Christ there is neither male nor female, which was also from Galatians. But there's this, when we start with faith, Peter said, add your faith virtue to your virtue.